All right. Well, we're going to get started here. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, if you want to get there in your Bibles. If you're following along on YouVersion, it's a Bible app, and you can go to events. The sermon will be in there, along with a whole bunch of announcements about things that are coming up. So we'll be Galatians chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 1 to 14 today. And as we're getting ready to get there, I was thinking about this winter that we've had. And we've had a wild winter in California, haven't we? We've seen things that we are just not used to. A ton of just different rain. And even at the beginning of the year, we had so much rain, we had atmospheric rivers, which I never knew existed, and I never thought I'd get to say from the pulpit before, but there it is. And but just deluges and of rain coming. And rain can be good, but like spread out and not so much. And some of the stories that came back from all the rain that happened and some of the flooding we saw. And there was a story I read that just tears my heart apart because this mom was driving her 5-year-old up north back to school after the break. It was his first day back at school, and he had missed a week earlier because of sickness or injury, so he was super excited. And as they were going, they saw some water in the road, and she drove through that water the day before, and everything was fine. And this time she drove through it and just swept her off the road and pinned her car against this tree. And she's panicking and she's freaking out. And her son tells her, "It's okay, Mom, just be calm." And they're pinned against this tree and she's trying to get out and she's trying to reach her son and get him to come forward. And she's holding on to him and she loses her grip. And he floats away. And they haven't seen their son for 7 weeks because of these floodwaters. And it's brutal. You're just like, I'm not used to like floodwaters or different things happening like that. Other people are back in the Midwest. They have a lot more floods. We don't get floods that often. But imagine being caught in a storm. And the floodwaters are coming in and the rain is not letting up. And the water is rising and rising and rising. And before you know it, your feet are no longer touching the ground anymore because you're floating in how much water is there. And it keeps rising and it keeps rising. And you're trying to swim and you're freezing and you're cold. And all these things are happening. And you're not sure how much longer you can keep your head above water. You're not sure how much longer you can keep treading water. You're not sure how much more water you can swallow and still be alive. And then from out of nowhere, a boat comes to get you. Are you going to look at the captain of that boat and go, "Hey, do you have any Tylenol? I'm getting leg cramps. Hey, do you have a Cliff Bar? I'm running out of energy." Or do you get in the boat? You get in the boat, right? As we're talking about the gospel, the boat is the gospel. The boat is God's plan to come in and rescue us from impending doom and destruction. Like, look, Jesus comes to save us from the penalty and the punishment of our own sins. And this boat comes in to save us. And so let me just run through, as we talked about, we've seen there is one gospel, and Paul's hounding the gospel. This is what the gospel is, that there's God. He's all-powerful. He's holy. He's the creator, and he loves us insanely. That's God. Then there's man. We're one of God's created things, but we've rebelled against him and his authority. And sometimes we want nothing to do with him. We want to live our own lives, and no one can tell us how to live our lives. And that's called sin. And man is just sinful. And because of that sinfulness, we have this broken relationship with God, but there's a penalty to pay for the cost of our sins. And then God sends Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the same as God. He gives his life on the cross to pay the price of our sins and to give to us righteousness that we can never get on our own. That's what Galatians is all about. You can't earn it. It's only through grace of God. And then there's the response. Will we find relief through our belief? Will we continue to rebel and go to, you get the idea of where that's going. But how will we respond to the gospel? God loves us. We're sinful. Jesus paid the price of our sins. Will you get in the boat or not? Because that's the only way for us to be saved. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. And that's what Paul has been writing about over and over to the Galatians. Why are you listening to other people coming and saying you have to do more stuff than just believe in what God has set up for you? It's all about the gospel. It's all about God's grace. God's grace saves you, and God's grace alone. You cannot earn it. You and I cannot earn it. If we were able to earn it, then we nullify God's grace And we make Jesus look silly for going to the cross for no reason. Last week we went over how necessary it is for that gospel and that we need it. Today we're going to be talking about how necessary it is to have faith, to have belief in God and in that gospel message. And so that's where we're going to be going. I'm going to invite Steve Founis to come on up. He's going to read from us from Galatians chapter 3 this morning. As he's coming up, I want to remind you, here's kind of the bottom line of what I want to talk about today and what I think our passage talks about, and it's this. That faith is the key to unlocking God's grace in our lives. Faith is the key to unlocking God's grace in our lives. One of the things we do here at West Cypress Church is when we read from God's Word for the beginning passage, we stand. So I invite you, if you can and you're able, to stand with us as we give God's Word the place of authority this morning.
Can I ask you to do one thing while I read? When you hear the word Galatians, I just want you to think of Cyprus, Southern California, California in general. Okay? Galatians 3, 1 through 9. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith, just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness? Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that today we've come before you. Come before you to be reminded that it is our trust in you that matters most. That it's what you do for us, not what we have to do to prove ourselves. Teach us today what faith is and how faith can change us and bring us to you. Give Brian the words and open up our ears to hear. For this I pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. You can have a seat, church. Man, good stuff. Galatians has a lot of good things in it, and I am excited for this passage today. Even talking about Abraham, and maybe even as you're listening and looking at that passage, you see the centrality of faith and what's going on there. And so just kind of, we're going to work through this a little bit. We're not going to hit every single point, but just as God is working in me, and so I share with you. The first thing I want you to see, mic drop. First thing I want you to see is this, that faith activates grace. And it might sound a little scary to some people that have been around for church a while, like, whoa, Pastor, are you saying like faith is a work, that faith is not a work? We're going to talk about this. Faith activates grace. And you see this talking about Abraham, and just as Paul's writing, did you receive through faith or through works of the law? You received it through faith. You received it through faith. And even Abraham, so when we get to verse 6, just as Abraham believed God, faith, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham's belief initiated or activated this righteousness that God had in place for him. So even as Abraham believed, God credited him as righteousness. And so what are we kind of talking about when I say this? That God's grace is already there for the taking for you. The boat is there to rescue you. You didn't call the boat in. No one else did. God sent that boat in to rescue you. It is there for the taking. Faith is receiving that. Just as Abraham believed God and then it was credited to him as righteousness, we believe the gospel. We believe in what God does. And then God credits Jesus' righteousness to us and takes away the penalty of our sins. But it's already there for you to be a part of. Does that make sense? Let me explain it this way. Jesus isn't sitting up in heaven right now going, hey, Dad, just a minute. Someone just believed me. I got to go down and die on the cross again. And let me come back in a few days and I'll be back. And he's like, okay, someone else believed. Let me go back down to the cross again. Jesus is not continually going to the cross. Jesus died on the cross once and for all for everybody. He initiated that grace for everybody. He died for all the sins of all the people of the world. But if you don't receive that, it's not activated for you. It's just sitting there, not getting used because you didn't want to use it. Hebrews 10 talks a lot about this, that Jesus already going to the cross. Then I would say this, that the grace is already in place to erase our disgrace. God's grace is already in place to erase our disgrace. Will we receive it by faith? Hebrews 10, and the whole chapter is great, but I just want to read a few verses. It says this, "For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ, once for all time. Under the old covenant, that's the law, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins." What do they say that is? What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results? The priest, day after day in the Old Testament, offered the same sacrifices again and again, but it was never enough. Because the blood of bulls and goats and those things cannot really pay the price of our sins. And then Jesus comes along. Verse 12. "But our high priest Jesus offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time." How long is it good for? Good for all time. "Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand." God's grace is there waiting for you to take it and claim hold of it. And we do that through faith. We do that through belief. Grace gets activated in our life as we believe in it. Even Ephesians chapter 2 says we're saved by grace through faith. And it's God's working. It's not our own working. Faith claims God's grace and it continues it. And that's why Paul is saying, why would you guys believe anything else, Galatians? Why would you believe someone, if I taught you that it's about grace and it's there, why would you let someone come in and tell you, like, well, you're not really saved until you get circumcised. You're not really saved until you obey all the law. Hey, grace is great, but you've got to do these things too. You've got to take these actions or grace is not going to be activated for you. And God is saying, grace is activated through Jesus' death and resurrection. And that's it. And once you believe in that, you get God's grace. So thinking about that and thinking about our lives, sometimes we have ailments in life, right? Have you ever had nausea, indigestion, upset tummy? There's a solution for that. So you're feeling terrible, you run to the store and you get your Pepto-Bismol. What good does it do you to buy a bottle of Pepto-Bismol and go, "Ah, good, I've got Pepto-Bismol now." Well, are you going to take it? No, I just want to make sure I have it just in case. Your child cuts themselves and they're bleeding. Thankfully, you've got flexible fabric Band-Aids. But I'll just keep that to the side and see what happens. Why wouldn't you clean the wound and put Band-Aids on? Maybe you've got headaches. We have stuff for that. I get migraines. Ibuprofen doesn't work. Then go get Botox. There's stuff that we can use all the time. But sometimes we have all these things in our cabinets. I remember one time my finger was just super sore and it had been like sore for like 7 weeks. And so finally I went to the doctor. It felt like my knuckle was broken and stuff. And he looks at me and goes, have you taken any Tylenol for that? No. I didn't know it would work for that. And he's looking at me like, it's an anti-inflammatory. Why wouldn't you? We have all this stuff to help us. More than that, God's grace is there waiting for us. Will we take hold of it? Will we believe in it and activate that grace in our lives? Grace is activated by our faith in what God has already done. And that's what Paul is writing to the Galatians. Second thing I want you to see is this, that faith turns our lives upside down. And we're going to leave Galatians a little bit to talk about this, because I want to look at Abraham. As Paul brings up Abraham, the man of faith, like the hero of faith, Abraham who believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And so when you go back and look at Abraham's story, in Genesis chapter 12, God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, check this out. I am going to make you a great nation. You're going to have so many heirs that people won't be able to count how many children you really have and just your line, your lineage. And one of the cool things, I go on tangent sometimes, and this is a cool tangent, some archaeologists have found, like dating back to Abraham's time, they found two different glass lenses, one bigger and smaller, that people were actually making like telescopes that they could actually see a little further, a little better, even back in that day. Nothing like the Hubble or the new one that we have, but maybe Abraham could have seen the stars better than we can think or imagine. He could probably see them well because they didn't have lights to take out the skies. But if God says, Abraham, I know you don't have any kids right now, and you're 75, don't worry about that. You're going to have so many descendants. No one's going to be able to count them. Not just on one hand or two hands. They're just not going to, it's going to be like pie. It's going to go on forever. No one's going to be able to count them. Now here's what I need you to do, Abraham. I need you to leave your home. I need you to leave your parents. I need you to leave your country. And I'm going to take you over to this place. I want you to leave behind everything that you know. And I want you to come to this place that you know nothing about. Come and follow me. Abraham's life gets turned upside down. Faith will turn our lives upside down. Not all the time, but every time. Genesis chapter 12, God calls Abraham. Genesis chapter 15, it's 10 years later. How many kids does Abraham have? None. And God says, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to have so many descendants, nobody will count it. Come on. Come and follow me. This is going to be awesome. If someone promised you something and it had been 10 years and nothing happened, would you believe them? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not buying it. Abraham's like, no, God, I totally trust you. Life is not turning out the way that I thought. It's not going according to my plan. I thought I would have had kids by now, but I'm 85 now, but I trust you. Not till another 15 years does Abraham have his son that will bring forth all the descendants. 25 years of waiting. Starting out with Abraham, leave everything that you know and come and follow me. And I think of Abraham, and I think about us because Abraham had that kind of faith that models for us. I think nowadays what we do with faith is we take faith and we think we can add it into our lives and make it better. Abraham's faith turned his life upside down. Leave everything that you know. Trust me. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. It's been 10 years, Abraham. Trust me. It wasn't even a question for Abraham. He trusted. God, you can do whatever you want to my life. What do you think Jesus means in Matthew chapter 16? He says this, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Faith has a way of turning our life upside down. And that's where I think sometimes we like to add Jesus to our life, right? So this bag is your life. You think, come on, pastor, aren't I a treasure chest? No. You're lucky you're a Vons bag. They're thicker and sturdier. Home Depot ones are free, but they rip. And you have different experiences in your life that some are like nothing. You know, you have, that's a good one. Sometimes we get baking powder. You know, that happens in our life. But sometimes we get flour. Doesn't really mean anything. It's just kind of there. Sometimes we get like really sweet things, like chocolate chips, like good relationships, or dating. We get some sugar, and we get some brown sugar, and we get all these things that are going great. And sometimes we have things in our life that we think they're going to be good, but then we taste it, and it's not, like vanilla. It smells great, but don't drink it, right? Trust me on that. Don't do that. Sometimes we have things like butter that's just slippery. Sometimes we have hurtful things like salt on a wound that hurt. And we have all these things happen in our life, and then we have our tender things in life. The things that we don't want to share too much with. And we want to be very careful with these. And so we put them into our life. And our life has all the ingredients to make some delicious chocolate chip cookies, right? Maybe you're sitting there going, I wish my life were chocolate chip cookies, Pastor. Maybe you're not chocolate chip cookies. Maybe you're banana bread or Waldorf salad or broccoli salad. You know, you've arranged your life. You do what you do. And then we hear about Jesus. And we think, oh, man, Jesus is going to make my chocolate chip cookie life so good. And we add Jesus to our life, and it's perfect because now we have oatmeal chocolate chip cookies. But that's not the way that faith works. We find Jesus, who has all authority, and we say, Jesus, we want you to be the Lord of my life. And so we take our life, and we dump it out. And here's the point. Some of you are more concerned that an egg just broke on stage than you are about me emptying my life for Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to add oats to our chocolate chip cookies. He came to be the one in our life. But my tender things. What do I do with all that? You let Jesus figure that out. That's what faith is. Faith is saying, God, I don't understand everything that's gone on in my life. I don't know what to do with all these things. How are you going to fit into this? How are you going to fix all that? It's not about that. Faith in Jesus is about the grace of God and attaching to that and allowing God to say, you are not just the Savior of my life, there's the grace, you are the Lord of my life. And God, if you want to turn my life upside down, turn my life upside down. It's going to get messy. Faith is messy. Faith messes everything up sometimes. Maybe we wanted to be chocolate chip cookies, but maybe God's saying, Brian, I need you to be broccoli salad. Because there's a couple people that like broccoli salad, and they need you to share the gospel with them. So I'm going to make you broccoli salad. No! I like chocolate chip cookies. Can I put chocolate chips in the broccoli salad? No, nothing is ever going to make broccoli salad better. But I need you to be broccoli salad. Will you empty out all the things that you think you have control on in your life and allow me to be the Lord of your life? I'll put things back in as I see necessary. Jesus isn't here to be added to our life, church. He's here to be the Lord of your life. Not just Savior, Lord. Maybe your mess isn't going to look like an egg on stage. By the way, sometimes he has volunteers that help clean up pastors' messes. Are you adding Jesus to your life? Are you allowing Jesus to be the Lord of your life? Abraham left everything he knew for God. God, you take me and you do whatever you want to do with me. That's why he's the father of faith. That's why it's credited to him as righteousness. That's why Jesus says, anyone who wants to come after me, let him deny himself. If you're at home and you don't see the stage, it's just a big mess of what used to be good ingredients for chocolate chip cookies. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Are we doing that in our lives? Are we allowing Jesus to upend what we want for his purposes? That's what faith is all about. Faith activates grace in our lives, but don't be surprised if faith turns your life upside down, because God will rebuild your life better than you can ever build it for yourself. Amen? Let's keep reading in Galatians a little bit. Verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Faith activates grace. Faith can turn our lives upside down. The third thing I want you to see is this, that without faith, we're cursed. Have you ever had one of those days or one of those weeks that you're like, what else can go wrong? You burnt the toast. You spilled your coffee. You're late for work, but you're out of gas. You forgot your wallet. There's traffic. There's accidents. Everything that can go wrong does go wrong. Have you ever had one of those days where you're just like, Lord, take me now, because and it's only 8:05 in the morning, but I'm done. I'm cooked. Am I cursed? What's going on here? Like, what is happening? Without faith, we are cursed. And this isn't a voodoo type of thing at all. We're cursed because without faith, we have to rely on the fact, are we good enough? Did I obey the law enough? Did I do enough good things? Was I righteous enough? Did I donate enough? Did I pray enough? Did I share enough? Did I come to church enough? Did I love my neighbor enough? No, we did not receive the Spirit by the works. Just kidding. We can't obey the rules enough to outweigh the curse of our sin. We can never be good enough to do it. If you think I'm gonna go to heaven and I'm gonna rely on the good things that I've done and see how far I've gotten, you're in trouble. Because without the faith that activates God's grace, we're in trouble. We're cursed. How many people will be justified before God by doing good things? Zero. None of us will. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, I'm normally not a doom and gloom preacher. I like using humor. I like using jokes. But as we're talking about the gospel and we're talking about faith, I got to be upfront that the Bible shares that we're all sinners. Every one of us, even your pastor. This morning was one of those cursed mornings with technology. And I don't have a problem with anger. But man, I just wanted to punch one of our computers in the screen so hard this morning, which would have been a $1,500 decision. So thankfully, God kept me back from that. But I was just like, Lord, have mercy. Like, Lord, what is going on? Like, how am I going to function this morning? How am I supposed to do that? And it's not about me. It's not about what I do. There's nothing I can do to earn grace. The good news is that the gospel sets us free from the curse of the law. Jesus ransoms us. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, it says this, for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's the very thing that Galatians is saying, that Jesus Christ became the curse for us so that he could give us his righteousness. Because there's only been one person that has perfectly obeyed the law on this planet, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that was obedient to the point that he earned God's righteousness. And the gospel says he went to the cross to become the curse of our sins so that he could give that righteousness to us. That's grace. That's the boat that comes in. And if we don't get in that boat, we're cursed. But if we do get in that boat, we're rescued and saved. You didn't call the boat in. You can't get your tools and get the floating wood around you and build a boat that's going to sustain you. The only choices you have is get in the boat of grace or not get in the boat of grace. If you get in the boat of grace, God erases your disgrace. But if you don't have the belief, you won't have relief. That's what faith in the gospel is all about. God offers us freely that grace. Amen? And maybe it's today. Maybe it's down the road. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're hearing. I don't know how God is stirring in your heart. You could have been a believer for a long time, but realizing, man, there are things that I have not allowed Jesus to be the Lord of in my life. Maybe it's time to empty out the bag. Maybe it's time to let faith make a mess and let God build you back up. Maybe it's time to rest in God's grace. I'm going to call the band on up as we finish this out. And we're going to just continue in some worship after this. And we're going to take communion in this next song. We'll talk about that in a minute. But what do we walk away with as we talk about this Galatians chapter 3 passage and Abraham and faith? Our takeaway is this, that we need faith to unlock God's grace. We need faith to unlock God's grace. How's a way that you can pray this week? Lord, help me to die to self and to love you with all that I am. Lord, help me to die to self and love you with all that I am. And obedience, I mean, there's so many different ways I could have gone. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to know more, ask questions. If you want to know who to ask to, wait just a few minutes, because the leaders of our church are going to go pray, and when they come out of that room, you can ask any person in this room, really, but if you want to talk to a leader, we don't have any more authority than anybody else, but you'll find out who the leaders are. Come and ask us questions. Maybe it's time to make a decision, ask questions. If there's an area in your life that you haven't surrendered to God this week, do it. And really, just sit with the Lord. God, is there something that I haven't given to you? Show it to me, God. Reveal what's in my bag of life that I need to surrender to your Lordship. Allow God's grace to set you free. Let's pray, church. God, I thank you. You are an amazing, gracious God. I thank you that Jesus died already, that the grace is there for us to believe in. God, I pray that you stir in our hearts, no matter where we're at, to see that boat not as a burden, but God, to see that boat of grace as relief, as setting us free, as giving us your righteousness so that we have hope not only in this world, but hope in the world after this, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.